Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday class, September 7th, 2025, Romans.
Well, it was a great day yesterday. Almost every team from California lost. That is damn good right there. UNLV beat UCLA. Washington State killed San Diego State. Oh, even so, come Lord Jesus. I mean, doesn't get any better than that. Fantastic. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we have an update on the evangelism at the Veterans Home in Boulder City. The evangelism team's outing to the Nevada State Veterans Home at Boulder City to present the Freedom Program went very well. 15 veterans or spouses of deceased veterans were in attendance, along with some of the staff. Al gave a brief introduction to the program, after which Daria led the group in singing a number of patriotic songs and hymns. Then Gary presented the Grace Gospel. The team moved among the audience to pass out gospel booklets, freedom cards, and gospel coins, and to interact with the residents and staff on an individual basis. The residents and the staff expressed their great appreciation for our visit. As we departed, Daria was able to share the gospel and give gospel booklets to two of the staff assigned to the reception desk at the front of the building. All in all, it was a very great day. All right, Romans chapter 8, and what a passage are we in right now. First of all, we have that great verse, Romans 8:28, that most people don't understand. And it presents the great principle that all things, not some things, not only when the weather's nice, all things work together for good for those who love God. There's the kicker. They don't work together for good for those who don't love God. All things work together for good for those who love God. What believers love God? Winner believers, spiritually mature believers. Believers who have advanced to spiritual maturity have virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. Because they have virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts, they have personal love for God, God the Father. They have personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. To those winner believers, yes, absolutely, all things work together for good for the spiritually mature believer, to those who love God. But for the carnal reversionistic believer, all things do not work together for good. No, they're living their life by the lust patterns of their sin nature and Satan's cosmic system. All God can do with them is spank them. Warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. All things do not work together for good for the carnal reversionistic believer. All things do not work together for good for the baby believer or the adolescent believer. Only those who love God. And the only ones who love God are the ones who know God. You have to know God to love God. And why so many believers, they don't love God? Because they don't know God. They don't know the essence of God. They don't know the attributes of God. They don't know the will of God, the plan of God. They don't know God. You have to know God to love God. And the key in Romans 8:28 is that verb agapao. And that's the verb for virtue love. To love with virtue love. The object of this virtue love is God. Theos, God. Agapao refers specifically to the virtue love of the spiritually mature believer. It refers to personal love for God the Father, personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, which is occupation with Christ. It's an articular participle, which means it's substantival and functions as a noun. And so you correctly translate it, the ones who love God. Those who love God. To love God, you have to know God. You have to know the essence of God, who and what God is. You have to know the attributes of God, the plan of God, the will of God. Only the spiritually mature believer loves God. Only the spiritually mature believer has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Only the spiritually mature believer has personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. Only the spiritually mature believer knows God. In fact, we know that to the ones who love God, all things work together for the purpose of good. All things refers specifically to all the greater grace blessings that God pours out on the spiritually mature believer. All those spiritual blessings, all those temporal blessings, all undeserved suffering for blessing. The winner believer has qualified to wear the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. And many times it is very intense. It is such an intense suffering that God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, has a special intercessory ministry for that winner believer who is going through intense, undeserved suffering. God the Holy Spirit prays for him, intercedes for him while he's going through that tremendous suffering, so much so that he is not able to pray for himself. the Holy Spirit steps in and prayed for him. How great is our God? How awesome, how wonderful. So all undeserved suffering for blessing, all personal impact of the invisible hero, blessing by association, all national impact of the invisible hero, all international impact of the invisible hero, all heritage impact of the invisible hero, all angelic impact of the invisible hero, all dying grace blessing. That's all things. From physical birth to the judgment seat of Christ, mankind has three hopes. The first hope is the hope of eternal salvation. That becomes a reality when you believe in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The second hope is greater grace blessings in time, which becomes a reality when you attain spiritual maturity. The third hope is greater grace blessings in eternity, which becomes a reality after the rapture of the church at the judgment seat of Christ. That's where we receive our crowns and rewards that glorify God for all eternity. In fact, we, spiritually mature believers, we know that to the ones who love God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Jesus Christ, all things work together for the purpose of good. To the ones who are called, elected to privilege, according to and because of the predetermined plan and purpose of God. And then we have coming up in Romans 8, 29 and 30, the five steps to glory. Step one, foreknowledge, verse 29. Step two, predestination, verse 29. Step three, election to privilege, verse 30. Step four, justification, verse 30. Step five, glorification, verse 30. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on the absolute uniqueness of the living and true God. In verse 28 again, to love God, you have to know God. Paul is putting the spotlight on God's divine essence. So we are taking a look at the essence of God. Now, a lot of you know and can even say it back to me better than I can say it to you. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, immutability, veracity. You can say that. But do you know what each one of those attributes mean? Do you know it? Do you know it from the Word of God inside and out? When you do, then you will love God. So to love God, you have to know God. You have to know the essence of God. Last week we looked at the sovereignty of God. Today we're going to look at the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. And we noted, I think, 3 points last time. Is that right? Right? Shaking your head? That's good. Either just getting the brain to loosen up a little bit and roll around. Point one was the righteousness of God means that there is an absolutely perfect norm and standard in the very essence of God. An absolutely perfect standard in the very essence of God. That perfect standard in God's essence is His absolute righteousness. Point two, the absolute righteousness of God means that God has a norm and a standard in His essence which is the sum total of perfection and honesty and integrity and character and virtue. 3, God's Norman standard of absolute righteousness means absolute perfection and intrinsic goodness. And we saw that in Psalm 25:8, Psalm 34:8, Psalm 119:68. Now, point 4. In fact, God's norm and standard of absolute righteousness refers to the sum total of perfection. The sum total of perfection, there's a few passages. I hope you brought your Bible because we're going to be in the Bible here, going here and there. And let's turn to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. This is the Song of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He, the Lord, is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are righteous. A faithful God who does no wrong. Righteous and just is he. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Now turn over to Psalm. Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Psalm 11, verse 7, for the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Grace righteous men, spiritually mature believers, will see his face. What does that mean? Grace righteous, spiritually mature believers have occupation with Jesus Christ. And then turn over to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 3. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. So God's standard of absolute righteousness refers to the sum total of perfection. 5. God's standard of absolute righteousness not only means that he is perfect in his essence and person, but also in his attitudes and his actions. God's standard of absolute righteousness not only means that he is perfect in his essence and person, but also in his attitudes and actions. Turn over to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 17. Psalm 145, 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Absolute righteousness in all his ways. And gracious in all his works. And then turn over to Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 14. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us. And he won't hesitate to bring the disaster upon us in America either. We are in a total apostasy and degeneracy. I was listening to the colonel, and this was a class done in the 70s. And he went on and on how our nation was on the verge of disaster in the 70s. He says, we are full of thinking like communists. That was in the 70s. Now we're electing him to office. Today, it is way, way worse today than then. He was way ahead of his time. Nailed it right on. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous, absolute righteousness in everything he does. Yet we have not obeyed him. We have not obeyed him. So when we get clobbered by God, it's because he is absolute righteousness and we deserve it absolutely. That's Daniel 9:14. 6. God's standard of absolute righteousness means that God is free from sin. God's standard of absolute righteousness means God is free from sin. It's impossible for the living and true God to do anything wrong. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And this is Communion Sunday, and the second half will be the Lord's table. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, he, God the Father, made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. He was impeccable, sinless perfection. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, the imputation of the world's sins to Jesus Christ on the cross, and the judgment of the world's sins in Jesus Christ, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5, and this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In him there is no darkness at all. 7. God is not simply righteous by comparison with someone else. His standard of absolute righteousness is independent and incomparable. God is not simply righteous by comparison with someone else. His standard of absolute righteousness is independent and incomparable. 8. The whole human race has come short of God's absolute righteousness. The whole human race has come short of the absolute righteousness of God. Turn over to Romans 3. Romans 3. Romans 3, let's start at verse 9. What then? What are we to conclude? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both the Jews and the Gentiles are all under sin. As it is written, there is none that is righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless, worthless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of asps, those are snakes. The poison of asps are under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, commit murder. Destruction and misery are in their path, and the path of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And now verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the glory of God is the absolute righteousness of God. The entire human race. All have sinned and come short of the absolute righteousness of God. Everyone. In total, the whole human race. So the question arises, therefore, can God save sinners? Since we're all sinners and we all come short of the absolute righteousness of God, can God save sinners and maintain his absolute righteousness? Or stated a different way, how can a righteous God, a God with a standard of absolute righteousness, how can he allow sinners into heaven? 9. God found a way. And that way is the grace plan of the cross. Operation Grace. And through Operation Grace, he sent his eternal Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. The eternal Son of God left heaven, took on true humanity, to go to a cross. And what did he do while he was on the cross? All of the sins of the whole world, all of the sins of the whole world were poured out on Christ and judged in Christ. He solved the world problem of sin. Operation Grace, the grace plan of the cross, solve the world problem of sin. This is where the righteousness and perfect integrity of God enables him to have perfect impersonal love for all mankind. God loved the world, the whole world, so much. That is, he loved us with impersonal love. God the Father loved the world so much, he gave his uniquely born Son, so that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. He loved the whole world when we were in spiritual death, when we were totally depraved and no damn good. He loved us based on his absolute righteousness. He loved us with impersonal love for all. And designed Operation Grace, sent his eternal, impeccable, perfect Son from heaven to earth to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. Because that happened, now he can offer eternal salvation through faith in Christ without compromising his righteousness in any way at all. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his impersonal love for the whole world, all mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He solved our problem of sin once and for all at the cross. 10, God's standard of absolute righteousness demands an equivalent righteousness in man. God's standard of absolute righteousness demands an equivalent righteousness in man. 11, we receive that absolute righteousness from God one way, through faith in Jesus Christ. One way, through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness from God, the absolute righteousness from God, through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Being justified means that at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God imputes his righteousness to us and declares us to be righteous. Plus R, justified. We don't work for it. We do not earn it nor deserve it in any way. It is credited to our account when we simply believe in Jesus Christ. And that is grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is free to us, but like most things which are free, someone pays for them. And in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ picked up the tab at the cross. And therefore, a person receives the absolute righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. 12. God's absolute righteousness cannot be received by keeping the Mosaic law or following any legalistic or work system. God's absolute righteousness cannot be received by keeping the Mosaic law or by following any legalistic or work system. Romans 3:20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law, the Mosaic law, comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness from God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, the scriptures, even the righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. In Romans 4, verse 4, for to the one who works, his work is not credited as grace, but as what is debt. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. If God's righteousness is received by keeping or following some system of works and legalism, then our Lord Jesus Christ died in vain. Turn over to Galatians 2. Galatians 2. If God's righteousness is received by keeping or following some system of works or legalism, then Jesus Christ died in vain. Galatians 2:21. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness, absolute righteousness of God, comes through the law, through works, then Christ died in vain. 13. The righteousness of God is revealed in the grace gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed in the grace gospel. Turn over to Romans 1. Romans 1. The righteousness of God is revealed in the grace gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For in it, the righteousness of God, in the grace gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. The moment your salvation is by faith, and you just go after that from faith to faith, from faith in Jesus Christ to faith in the Word of God, attaining spiritual maturity and glorifying God to the maximum. 14. The Word of God is an expression of the righteousness of God. The Word of God, the Word of God is an expression of the righteousness of God. Turn over to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord, the word of God, are sure and altogether righteous. The word of God is altogether righteous. Turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 137. Psalm 119, 137. Righteous are you, O Lord, the absolute righteousness, absolute standard of plus R, and your laws, the word of God, are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. That is, the statutes of the word of God that you have laid down are righteous, absolute righteousness, and they are fully trustworthy. Psalm 119, 137, and 138. 15. God loves his righteousness. God loves his absolute righteousness, and therefore, wherever the absolute righteousness of God goes and resides, God's love follows. God loves his righteousness. Now, what happened when you believed in Christ? God imputed his righteousness to you. And that means God loves you with infinite virtue love because you have his righteousness and he loves his righteousness. Righteousness. Turn over to Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9. This is a special place for me. Deb got me a special gift. And it's in my office. The only thing that's difficult about it, it keeps falling off, but it has magnets attached. But every day when I'm studying, I look at that, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man, boast of his wisdom, pseudo-wisdom. What good is that? Let not the wise man boast of his pseudo-wisdom, his arrogance, or the strong man boast of his strength, that's the successful man boasting in his success, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me. If you know God, you have to know God to love God. That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises grace, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these things I am pleased, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. God loves his righteousness. 16. God's standard of absolute righteousness is a part of the foundation of the throne of God, along with his perfect justice. God's standard of absolute righteousness is a part of the foundation of the throne of God, along with his perfect justice. Turn over to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice. See, we're looking at the righteousness of God. We'll be looking at the justice of God next week. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Grace and truth go before you. Happinesses to those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. And then look at Psalm 97, verse 2. Psalm 97, verse 2. Psalm 97, 2. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Therefore, point 17, the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God, that is man's contact point with God, because it's the foundation of the throne of God. Therefore, the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God is man's contact point with God. All right. If you're going to love God, you have to know God. And so, all things work together for good for those who love God. And I hope that in the next few Sundays and the study we have, I hope that you will know God better than you ever have before. And I hope that that will result in you loving God more than you ever have before. We'll take a break now. When we come back, the Lord's table.